Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, I just want to come before you now and thank you for your love for us. Thank you for the fact that you are in this place and that you dwell amongst us. And I want to thank you, Lord, for the healing that you offer your people. So, Lord, I just pray that this message of looking at the healing of your Son will be something that we can grow in, find strength in, and move in. And I pray that you'll give me the wisdom to present it in a way that will help us to grow and to better understand your power. I pray this in your Son, Jesus Christ's most holy name. Amen. So, healing. Healing is something that we kind of know we need, don't we? Like, there's something built inside of human nature that has a way of just making us feel like we're broken and we need not to be, right? We can see it in our world, can't we? In everything. You know, one of the interesting parts of not starting work in, at TSA until 12:30 is that I kind of sometimes get to see daytime commercials. And if you've watched daytime TV as opposed to evening TV, you can tell the commercials are very, very different, right? Like, so on the AM side, there's a lot more commercials about physical ailments, right? Like, you know, I get to work about a half hour early so that I can, you know, prep my mind for what I need to do and have a chance to just sit and relax before I jump into it. And one of the commercials that always comes on is for hearing aids. And so you got this dad and son, and they're in the shop together, and they're just kind of sanding everything. And the son looks up and goes, "Dad, I love you." And the dad goes, "What?" And the son goes, "Dad, I love you." And the son goes, "Dad, I love you." And then the dad goes, "What?" And he's like, "If you're like me, hearing's getting harder." And so there's one aspect of it. Another one that I see a lot is for beet juice. I did not know beet juice was that big of a deal, but apparently, like, it is the next big supplement, the Beet Max, right? And you see commercials for car accidents, right? There's always at least 3 to 5 different people trying to convince you that if you've been in an accident, they're the right lawyer for you. Why all these commercials? Because we know that physically we need healing. When our bodies are breaking down, we want to find things to build them back up. Now, I've noticed with evening commercials, it's a little bit different. In the evening commercials, it seems like those commercials are more about, like, our spiritual problems, right? You're feeling sad and lonely, feeling depressed. Well, good news. If you buy the 6-pack that we're selling you, you're going to have energy. You're going to be the life of the party. Everybody's going to want to be there and just be partying with you, right? Or we see commercials for, like, feeling down, feeling depressed. Good news. Prozac is here to help you. Right? So we look and we realize that in ourselves that there's this brokenness. And that brokenness is what leads people to do crazy things. You know, in my lifetime, I've seen so many documentaries about faith healers, you know, about these guys that go around and they're promising to heal people and they're smacking people on the head and they're flying over and talking about how all of this healing is going on. And then you watch these documentaries and you realize, like, their hearing aid is not a hearing aid, it's a hearing piece. And so people have been turning in their cards for prayer requests of healing and stuff. And so somebody's back in the back whispering into a microphone, "There's somebody here with cancer. The Holy Spirit's telling me there's somebody here with cancer. Oh, that's me. Well, I know because I have your card," right? And the reality of it is that people, even though these documentaries come out and these people are proven to be phony, hundreds and thousands of people will come out and we'll go up to the front and hope that this person could heal them. Because within us, there is an understanding that we are broken. And so as we move forward in our study of Mark, we saw last week Jesus begin his ministry with a healing. We saw that there was a demon-possessed man who was in the synagogue, and as Jesus was speaking the word of God authoritatively, all of a sudden this demon pops out and says, "What are you? Are you here to punish us? We know who you are." And Jesus casts the demon out and brings about spiritual healing. But as we press forward, we're going to see that there's more to it. So our main verse for our sermon today is Mark chapter 1, verses 29 through 34. It says, "As soon as they left the synagogue, they went to James and John, with James and John, to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they immediately told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was." And so the thing that we have to understand, and this is the first point, is that the purpose of the kingdom is healing. I want to be clear about this. The purpose of the kingdom is healing. See, as we've gone through the Gospel of Mark, and I've been trying to do this in a way where we look at prophecy as well, so that we see that Jesus, his story isn't just something that appeared out of nowhere. We saw that at the right time, God gathered his remnant, the children of Israel, in Micah chapter 2, verses 12 through 13. We saw in Isaiah 46, verses 3 through 4, in our last sermon, how God had promised to care for the remnant, to provide for them. But God also wanted to reveal the purpose of his kingdom through his son, Jesus Christ. You see, in Luke chapter 4, verses 16 through 21, this is a passage we read last week. "He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor.'" And so, as we are looking at this passage, the entire purpose of the kingdom, the point of the good news, is that there is healing. God sent Jesus Christ to provide healing for his people. His intent was to set us free from the consequences of our sin, to take away our infirmities that were brought about by the sin in our lives, to cure us of our blindness. You see, the reality is that when we look at sickness, when we look at the brokenness of who we are, there are two ways that we were broken during the fall. One of those ways was spiritual sickness. And just as we said, we saw that with this demon-possessed man, right? We saw a spiritual sickness that came about when Adam and Eve sinned. You see, before Adam and Eve ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they were innocent. They were free from the burden of right and wrong. They had no knowledge of what was good and what was bad. And God revealed that to us. He said they were naked and unashamed. It meant that they didn't understand any aspect of what might be wrong or what might be sinful. They were innocent in every capacity. But when they ate of the knowledge of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, something changed. God's nature was revealed to them. That understanding of right and wrong, of good and evil, became real. And all of a sudden, they recognized their wrong relationship with God, how it had been broken in this choice for sin. And from that point forward, from the moment that they sinned, in every human being, there's been a bent towards sin. There's been this nature, this selfish nature, that's become predominant within us. And that comes because we have an understanding of God's nature of right and wrong. You see, in Romans chapter 7, verses 7 through 9, as Paul is talking about the law and how the law changed him, he says, "What shall we say then? Is the law sinful? Certainly not. Nevertheless, I would not have known what sin was had it not been for the law. For I would not have known what coveting really was if the law had not said, 'You shall not covet.' But sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, produced in me every kind of coveting. For apart from the law, sin was dead. Once I was alive apart from the law, but when the commandment came, sin sprang into life and I died." So you see, this knowledge that we have of God's good will sets us up in a situation where we, when we choose not to follow it, are put in a place of enmity with God. We're separated from Him by our choices, by our own evil desires. And so mankind, in this sin sickness, becomes rebellious and goes further and further and further away from God and away from His love. And sadly, because of God's love for us and His unwillingness that any of us should be forced to choose Him, He gives men over to their depravity. In Romans chapter 1, verses 28 through 32, it says, "Furthermore, just as they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, so God gave them over to depraved minds, so that they do what ought not to be done. They've become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They are not understanding. No fidelity, no love, no mercy. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these things, but also approve of those who practice them." Can you hear the depravity there? This was the bent that came into the heart of mankind. Now, I'm not saying we're totally depraved, okay? I want to be very, very clear about that. I'm not talking about total depravity here, that we have no choice but to be sinners, okay? That's not true. But let's be honest, we do have a bent towards sin, don't we? From a young age, we start saying, "Mine, mine, mine." And most of us don't get rid of it. We still have a piece of ourselves that wants what we want. "I want it my way. I want to do it this way. This is the important thing." And we get into this mindset. And so we end up with this sickness, this rebellion in our hearts that separates us from God. And it doesn't matter who we are. Even the children of Israel, having the law without Jesus, there was no hope. James tells us in James 2:10, "For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles in just one point is guilty of breaking all of it." All it took was one mistake, one bad choice to separate us from who God is. But the good news is that there's healing. The second type of ailments we face are physical. Our bodies are deteriorating. Anybody here not convinced of that yet? Ace, what do you think? Is your body deteriorating, buddy? What? He's growing. He'll be fine. But the reality is that from the day we're born, we're dying. Let's get morbid for a second. It's true, isn't it? Our bodies deteriorate. They break down. I can't run the way I used to run. It hurts to lift things it didn't used to hurt to lift. Our bodies are breaking down. And God told us, when sin occurred in Genesis 3:19, from the dust you came, to the dust you shall return. Our physical bodies are broken because of sin, because of the sin around us. Every ailment we face, no matter what it is, comes because we live in a broken world, because sin entered the world. Now, I want to be clear about another aspect. I am not saying that if you are ill, it's because God is punishing you. That is not what I'm saying. What I am telling you is that because all mankind sinned, because we have all chosen to sin, death and brokenness came into the world. And so it doesn't matter who we are. It doesn't matter how powerful and rich or how poor we are. All of our bodies are breaking and being broken because of the sin that is in the world. But the good news is that Jesus came to heal. For the sin-sick, demon-possessed man in the synagogue, and for all of those who were dragged in after the Sabbath day was over, what did Jesus do? He healed them. He cast those demons out of their lives. And there is nothing so powerful in the sinful nature that Jesus can't overcome if we give it to him. There is nothing so strong and so bad that we could have done that God cannot forgive. And Jesus proved clearly that he had the power to take away the sinful nature, the openness to evil that was present in these people. For Peter's mother-in-law, and for all those who had various ailments, what did Jesus do? He healed them. You see, Jesus, when he was looking at the prophecy of Isaiah, he said, "I have come to bring good news." Now, if you've been around long enough, you know good news and gospel are interchangeable, right? The gospel of Jesus Christ is the good news of Jesus Christ, our healer. And he has called us to share this same good news, that healing is available. You see, in Mark 16, verses 15 and 16, it says, "He said to them, 'Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned.'" The good news, the gospel, is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ is the perfect cure. for whatever ails you. There is nothing else on earth that can cleanse you of your sin. There is nothing else on earth that can heal you and restore you to wholeness, to completion. You see, the reason why baptism was such an important aspect of what he called us to go and do is because baptism is the point at which we accept the gospel. It's the point at which we see and recognize that that blood is the only way that we will find healing. It is the place in which we receive the promise of eternal life, that we will one day be free from physical pain, sorrow, and death. We will find freedom from the burdens of all of the evil that are created from that corrupted nature that came into man. You see, Jesus proved that he had the power to heal physically and that he had the power to heal spiritually. Now, most of us are like, well, Lord, come heal my ailments now. I'm ready at this moment. You know, I hurt my shoulder at work, I don't know, probably like 6 months ago, and I'm too big of a tough guy to go let the doctor look at it. I can still do everything, but it hurts to move it. I'd love if Jesus would just go boop, and now I can just go, oh, good, everything's fine. But the reality is that was not the promise. The promise was that one day when this all fades away, that my body will be cleansed of all pain. There will come a day when my shoulder won't hurt. There will come a day when whatever pain, whatever ailment, whatever struggle you're going through will fade away. And Jesus is capable of doing that. So Jesus is asking us, he said, my gospel, my good news is healing. It has the power to change lives, and I want you to join me in it. I want you to share this gospel message. I want you to teach people about that healing flood that comes through Jesus. But how do we do it? By following the pattern for the good news that Jesus displayed as he healed others. The first thing is that Jesus healed in the open. Jesus healed in the open. You know, it's important for us to recognize that Jesus wasn't trying to hide what he was doing. He wasn't, you know, when the demon started piping up and started going, what do you want with us? Are you here to torture us? He didn't go, excuse me, guys, I'll be back, and take him outside. Right on the spot, come out of him. He healed right on the spot. He wasn't afraid for people to see the healing that he was providing. And it was important for him to understand, or for us to understand, the healing that he would provide for us. You know, the second thing that we see is that once the Sabbath day was over, now I want to help you guys understand this, because it says that in the evening people started coming to the house to be healed, right? And that might seem weird, right? Like, oh, were they just done with work and they came? Well, the Sabbath starts at sunset Friday and ends on sunset Saturday. So unlike us, where we have our midnight, right? Midnight starts the new day. For them, sunset started the beginning of the day, and that day ended at sunset the following day. So basically what was happening is now the Sabbath is over, their day of rest is over, and so now all these people who have seen this demon-possessed man be freed from this are coming around and saying, we've got to do the same thing for the sick in my family. I got somebody demon-possessed. I've got to get them help. And they start gathering around and they start drawing them back to Jesus. And you'll notice that in the same context, when we see in Mark 33 and 34, the whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. So Jesus was out there and doing this in the open because it's what people needed. It's because it was what people needed. They needed to experience freedom. It's pretty amazing how Satan uses our physical illnesses, isn't it? How he uses it to get us depressed and anxious. How effective he is at telling us that because we're dealing with all this stuff, we can't be of any good use. It's amazing how Satan is so good at trapping us spiritually, how he's so good at convincing us that the world has no value, how it's all just doom and gloom, and that we should constantly be anxious and depressed. And as he does that, as he convinces us of these things, we become ineffective, don't we? If I'm busy being concerned about how bad my life is going, when do I have time to actually look at somebody else's life and say, how can I be a blessing to them? I don't. I don't have that opportunity to be a blessing to somebody else when I'm caught in my own stuff. And so Jesus knew they need freedom. They need freedom to be available, to be of help to others. He also knew that they needed to know that God cared. A lot of times, I think that's Satan's most effective tool. Oh, God doesn't care. He doesn't care that you hurt. He doesn't care that you're in pain. If he did, he'd take care of it, wouldn't he? And yet, Jesus, in their midst, seeing their pain, took it away. He freed them. As Scott read earlier, I want to read it again. Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 through 38. It says, Jesus went through the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. I want you to think about the level of care that Jesus is giving here. In the midst of all of this healing, in the midst of seeing all of the pain and suffering that people were going through, Jesus stopped to look at his disciples and said, you need to pray for workers because there are so many helpless and harassed people, so many people who don't have what they need and there aren't enough workers. Pray that God will bring more workers. That's the kind of care he has for you. He loves you so much. He loves the lost so much that he would stop in the midst and say, I want to see workers so that more people will come to know the love of Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, those workers are you and me. That's who we're meant to be. We're the ones that should be reaching out. We're the ones that should be the light in the world. Jesus said in Matthew 5:16, in the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Our lives reflect the healing that Jesus provides. When people who knew us before we came to the Lord look at who we were and see who God's growing us into, that's a light. That's a beautiful thing. That's something that changes the world around us. Finally, it's important to realize that Jesus didn't heal to get attention. You know, one of the interesting things as we look at this is that when we see him heal Simon's mother-in-law, he didn't make a big deal of it, did he? They're like, hey, she's sick. Jesus goes back, grabs her, and heals her. Right? Most of us, we want attention, don't we? We want to thank you for the things that we do. In human nature, in the nature of mankind, we probably would be more inclined to be like, you know, after the demons cast out in the synagogue and everything's over, it's like, you guys think that's cool, watch. I'm going to go over here and heal Simon's mother-in-law. Check this out. Right? And unfortunately, let's be honest, there's a lot of faith healers, people out there that's the goal. Come look, everyone, gather around. I'm going to heal some people. Look at me. I'm here. I'm the vessel. But Jesus wasn't like that. He would heal in the open, but he never made a big deal out of it. You know, as we continue on in Mark chapter 1, verses 40 through 44, it says, "Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, 'If you are willing, you can make me clean.' Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, 'I am willing, be cleansed.' As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left and he was cleansed. And he strictly warned him and sent him away at once and said to him, 'See that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them.'" See, the thing that we have to understand is that Jesus, in doing the work, was not seeking his own glory. In John 17, verses 1 through 4, as Jesus was preparing to pray, it says, "After Jesus said this, he looked towards heaven. 'Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he may give eternal life to those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work that you gave me to do." See, just like the song we sang, for his glory, we are here for his glory. It's not about me. It's not about what I want. It's not about recognition. It's about understanding that God is using me for the work of his kingdom. So where's our hearts? Where are our hearts and our minds when it comes to the kingdom? Are we concerned about what God wants? Are we looking to him and letting everything that we do be a reflection of his love towards others? You see, ultimately, the purpose of the kingdom is to bring healing, to take a divided people and restore them back to their God. Jesus was sent to be our healer. And not only did he provide healing for the people of his day, he provided the ultimate healing on the cross of Calvary out of his deep care for us. And he's called us to be a part of sharing the good news that there is hope, that one day there will be no more pain, no more sorrow, and no more struggling, and that we will be healed for all eternity. Are you willing to share that good news? Are you willing, after accepting the gift of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, to make sure that others know of his love and his mercy and the healing that we all deep down inside know we need. Are you willing to be that voice? You know, in Sunday school today, we talked about the idea of having a vibrant faith and of living out our lives as a reflection of the love of Christ. And I asked them a question. I want to ask it to you too. If you could make one choice that would open the door for somebody else to find salvation, to find a relationship with Jesus Christ, would you take it? Would you open that door? Our hearts cry out, yes. Let's let our lives do the same. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, you know, one of the most amazing and astounding proofs of the truth of the gospel message is that your Son, Jesus Christ, is the great physician. That there was no ailment known to man. That there was no sin that was so strong that he did not have the power to overcome it. That there is nothing in this world more powerful. Lord, you sent your Son to set us free, to open our eyes, to take all the bondages that we experience away. Lord, thank you for the healing blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you that we can know that no matter what pains we go through today, no matter what suffering, no matter what struggles, that your Son is bigger and stronger. Lord, in our hearts, we want to honor you. In the places that we fall short, we ask your forgiveness, Lord. We ask that we would purge the things from our lives that break us down, that separate us. Purge the things from our lives that hurt others. And I ask that we will embrace this healing and share it with all who would hear. Give us courage to trust in you, that when we share this good news, that good things will happen. Strengthen us. I pray this in your Son, Jesus Christ, most holy name. Amen.